in the least kind of arrogant way I could say this, but to me, to answer your question would be, first of all, partnership. I would say anything that comes across in my work that is sloppy or pretentious or bigoted or not, is that's me. But in the sense that, like, what I create only comes from the sense that I was made for a purpose. And it comes from a place that tells me that maybe, I'm gonna cry, that maybe if I am willing to take risks and go beyond what scares me, which is everything, I have crippling anxiety, but if I go beyond what scares me, maybe I could help someone.
Welcome back to the Breathe Faith and Creativity Podcast. Today, we sit down and chat with all-around creative and artist Emma Gaisley. We discuss staying inspired in the COVID era, the roots of her creative journey, and the power of human connections. We have an emotionally powerful one for you today, so let's get at it.
Welcome to the Breathe Podcast, where we explore the intersection of faith and creativity. We interview artists from all walks of life to discover how faith plays a role in their art and expression, hoping to encourage you to live a life of creativity and faith. And now, please welcome your co-hosts, Derek Engoy, Christian Mendoza, and Kevin Horton.
Yep. Welcome back to the Breathe Faith and Creativity Podcast. We're back with episode 2 of season 2. What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
We're already on number 2.
That's right. This is the second episode, y'all.
Doing good.
Yeah?
That's after 1, isn't it? Yes, it is. I'm kidding.
Well, numerically, Kevin, yes, that's after 1.
you know the number 2 is 2 ones. You're welcome. You know you love me.
That's right.
It's only the second season. You're about ready to strangle me. But other than that, it might be a visual, wouldn't it?
Hey, what do you guys think of episode 1?
I was very impressed with it. I thought it was awesome. I thought everybody did a great job.
Yeah, I felt good. It felt like it was kind of like a therapy session without having to pay.
Yeah.
And all parties involved pretty much got to break that wall of emotions that we've all kind of been welling up inside.
Yeah.
And it just got to gush. And what was kind of cool is I'm setting up interviews in the future. We have a future guest, Carrie Jo Pasquale, who we'll be featuring sometime in the near future. I kind of let her know about it. And this was exactly what she wanted to do, too. She was feeling it inside. And so I think a lot of the guests, you know, we're all creatives. We're a lot more sensitive, and we represent a much smaller percentage of the general population.
Yeah.
And for us to just have a voice to just say what we need to say, I think it's priceless.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it, Chris. Especially not only are we in the COVID era, but usually during the last quarter, winter season, it tends to be a really low season for a lot of people. And man, people just got a ton of things to say. Yeah. And I'm just excited to provide a platform for people to share, you know, things that perhaps maybe they didn't have the opportunity to share. Otherwise, that's good. So what about you guys? What I can share in a little bit, but any projects you guys working on?
Well, one project that, a couple of things, but I mentioned last episode, Voice Benders, and we're now working on a third episode. And really, really what it is all of us crazy voice actors got together, and I said the adjective word crazy, because we are.
Yeah.
Like I said before, we got together and we were just stir crazy. Mm. We wanted to create something. So all our crazy minds got together and we write skits. It's like audio Saturday Night Live. That's how I like to put it.
That's awesome.
And we're now in our third episode, and it's Christmas. And I've got a couple skits up my sleeve, and you can't see it, but my sleeve's kind of short. So just what I like about it is we create, we produce, we cast, we put it out within 2 weeks. And it's a direct result out of things like we mentioned last episode was the quarantine, and we want to connect. Hmm. It's so beautiful just to connect with everybody from Twitter to Instagram to everything. So that's what I've been doing.
Hey, where can we find that?
Twitter, VoiceBenders, hashtag VoiceBenders.
On Instagram?
All one word. Yeah, VoiceBenders on Instagram.
And then I assume all the links to the recordings are on there as well?
Yes. And I get to play a lot of some interesting characters. And I'll mention this character later, but he's a fusion between Boris Karloff and Walter Cronkite. And go figure that out. So his name has become Boris Cronkite.
Yeah. So, hey guys, go ahead and check that out. Voicebenders on Instagram, and you can find out all the recordings. That's cool, Kevin. What about you, Chris? What projects are you working on?
Mural.
So, Chris, was that a mural that you're working on? I didn't really understand. Yeah.
Hey, there's a rumor, yeah, Chris, that you're working on a mural.
Mural. Yeah. Well, it's pretty cool. It's like, I can honestly say I'm in the midst of my biggest creative challenge and project that I've ever done.
Yeah.
And it's coming out great. And yeah, it all has to do with the theme of the show, which is purpose.
Yeah.
But yeah. So before we get on, to the show today, I'd just like to have everybody, join our Instagram page. It's at breathe.podcast. And, help us out, spread the word, join our community. And again, that's at breathe.podcast.
You know, while you're at it, why don't you go over to Patreon and, especially under Derek Engoy, and look out for all the things we have on there. You can support us there and help us cover the cost to keep it running, because, we just keep running and running and running and we also have other projects on there that you can help directly support. And batteries are not included.
I also do want to mention, if you're on Apple Podcasts, especially, we ask that you rate and review the show. Not just give us the 5 stars, which we would definitely appreciate, but let us know what you guys think. Give us some questions if you might have them. But it's really important that you review specifically this podcast. It gives us a better sense of, what we can improve on, what things that we're currently doing that works. And so we want to hear from you. We do have 2 brand new reviews from a couple of folks.
Nice.
Yeah. So yeah, you guys too, Kevin, Chris, go check it out on Apple Podcasts. We got one dude who has his own podcast. I believe he's out in Utah. He had a chance to check out our piece and he really loved it. And another guy, local guy.
Awesome.
Yeah. So go ahead and check it out. So folks out
Salt
there,
Lake love.
That's right. So folks out there, go ahead and please give us a review. We would greatly appreciate, right? So this past week, I had the wonderful privilege of interviewing a local artist. She's out in the Culver City area. Her name is Emma Gaisley. One of the things that came up in our conversation, Kevin and Chris, was this idea of purpose. So I want to, before we play her interview, I want to talk for a second about purpose. How would you guys both define what purpose is?
Well, I would define it.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, Kevin.
Okay. We're going to draw straws. Mine's bigger.
go ahead.
I say purpose to me is a fluid kind of a definition. What you might think of purpose at the beginning of what you're trying to do, and it you change. And can you negotiate that? Can you change along with that? Can you look back at your definition of purpose from what it was 5 years ago to what it is now? Because I'll tell you what, with COVID and the quarantine, purpose has changed for everybody.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I like how you said fluid there. I think a lot of times, especially in... And I'll coin it this way, especially in the Christian circles, we try to discover our purpose, and we feel like once we've discovered our purpose, we're locked in, and we got to do that for the rest of our lives. But I like, Kevin, how you said that purpose is fluid, and that's a good way to coin it. I love that. What about you, Chris? How would you define purpose?
Purpose for me is it's what do you naturally gravitate to? What do you love? And that's my purpose right there. And it's kind of like what Kevin was talking about in the previous episode, with the breathing. It's harmonizing in my body and soul, correct?
Yeah.
And so if you can find certain activities that do that, that benefit you as an individual, and you love it so much that it spills out to your surrounding community, that's purpose.
That's cool.
It's like the cup overflowing. Okay.
Yeah.
But you're doing it in your It's basically, it's your calling. It's what do you feel is best for you? And I believe I found it in painting.
That's awesome. What would you guys say are some factors preventing us, ourselves, individuals, or just as a people? What would you say are some factors that prevent us from pursuing our purpose? Not necessarily discovering it, right, and then living it out, but just the simple act of pursuing our purpose. What do you think are some factors that prevent people from pursuing purpose?
What do you
negative
think, Chris?
Self-talk. Oh, negative self-talk for sure. It's because we're creative, and like I had talked about before, we're a small percentage of the main sea of society. So what happens is we're kind of like the statue with the pigeon and the statue relationship in a way. You're always, oh, you're the weird dude, or oh, why you always got to do that? And so when you're constantly being rained on with comments like that, backhanded remarks, you know, people rolling eyes, you start to lose that edge. You start to dull what makes you shine. And so I think those are some of the things that they hinder us. But what happens is we need to realize that doesn't work for us. Pull ourselves out of those environments, away from those people, and then replace them with people that actually encourage you to do what you want to do and that you're good at.
That's good.
Go ahead, Kevin.
The word that keeps coming to my mind is one that bothered me was fear. Fear of what people think, fear of what people will do. I remember what my dad always told me, and I loved how he used to ground me. You know how, well, ground me in different ways, but as far as ground for one of the good ways was, he sat me down once and he said, Kevin, you realize that person puts their pants on the same way you do? I started laughing. So I realized for a purpose, it means that we're all have a common denominator that we want to find that purpose. And we're always afraid to step out because we're always afraid what somebody else is going to say. Well, that's stupid. Yeah. How many times that's dumb. Mm-hmm. And you say it doesn't affect you, but years down the line, people still have that baggage of, I can't do this because it's stupid. Why? Because then people used to think I was stupid, and it just goes back to, they have a lot of injuries and things like that. But when you find your purpose, when you realize who you're supposed to be, it's freeing.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned,
yeah. What about you?
Well, yeah, you mentioned, right. So Kevin, you mentioned fear, Chris, you mentioned negative self-talk, and I would affirm both. I think we have a tendency to convince ourselves that we're not good enough. And for whatever reason, yes, fear, negative self-talk, maybe perhaps we had someone when we were younger tell us that we aren't good enough, or
childhood trauma.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe it wasn't intentional, but maybe our parents told us when we were pursuing a dream that we had that, you know, maybe they said that, well, that's not practical, so don't pursue that, you know, pursue something practical. Like in my case, you know, I would consider myself have always been a creative and pursuing different avenues of creativity. And, you know, that according to my parents and even, you know, the elders at the time, they would always tell me that, you know, that's not a practical pursuit. It doesn't make money. You know, you should become, and like most Asians or most Filipinos, right? You either are a doctor,
tell me about it.
A nurse, or an engineer. And even though I declared I went into my undergrad as an electrical engineering major, I did that for 2 years and I hated it. And I was like, man, all my cousins are electrical engineers and I feel like I need to be this, but I wasn't finding joy. And all I kept hearing was, you're not good enough. You need to pursue this. If you pursue another path, you're not going to be successful. Until I was just like, you know what? I want to choose my joy. I want to choose, you know, what I feel like my purpose is supposed to be. And that was a writer and that was a creative. And so I switched things up. Third year, you know, that's why it took me so long to get out of my undergrad studies. And I went from electrical engineering to print journalism, you know. And so I look back in hindsight and sure, maybe I'm around the house and I remember some of the things I learned in electrical engineering and I can fix, you know, some light bulbs or not light bulbs, but, you know, hang up electrical, you know, ceiling fans or do some minor rewiring in the house. Sure. But man, when I look at what I'm involved in now, freelance writing for a reputable company, you know, writing the books that I put out for poetry. And so I'm definitely using what I got my degree in, and even in pastoral ministry, You know, there's a sense of creativity to that, especially writing sermons and writing out, you know, certain dissertations and all that stuff. And so, I would say, you know, we just convince ourselves that we're not good enough. And so it stops us from pursuing our purpose. And
yes.
So. And what about the part? Okay. I like to dovetail on what you said there about we convince ourselves that we're not good enough. Mm-hmm. What about we turn that coin and say, we convince ourselves that we are good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one way we can encourage ourselves, but also encourage other people, right? That you are good enough. Right.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Like that's the number one thing is for. Once you find something that you really love, you're going to do it hours upon end. Right.
Yeah.
And that's the type of dedication that you need in order to be great at something.
Yeah.
So it's like, don't worry about if it's seen as weird or it's seen as like, you know, like way out there, or it's just do it, man.
Yeah.
like the mural, I'm there. I'll be there. Like I get access like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, dude. I'm there at like 10 when Pastor Michelle gets there. I leave at like 9. It's like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like, I love it.
Well, that's cool, man. Well, that being said,
what he has department store hours.
Yeah. By myself. And that's finding your purpose.
That's cool.
Can you do that?
That's right. Well, our guest today, she goes into that in our interview. So that being said, why don't y'all sit back, relax, and enjoy our conversation with local artist Emma Gaisley. All right, today we have an extremely fascinating guest who is somewhat of a jack of all trades, or in her case, a Jane of all trades when it comes to creativity. She's a painter, she sings, she writes a little poetry, she does a bunch of different things in the creative sphere, and she recently stepped down as lead and manager for a shop called Love the City Thrift Store in Culver City to pursue art full-time, which I'm sure we can unpack a little bit during this interview. But we met a few months back, and I'm super blessed to truly consider her family. Emma Hall, welcome to the show, and thanks for coming on today. What's going on?
What's up, Derek? Thank you for having me, dude. I'm so excited.
Yeah, me too. I'm really excited. And for this to be the first, I guess, official interview for season two, it's really exciting.
I know. I'm honored.
Yeah. I kind of wish that we had a video version of this, because we're all set up ghetto here, right?
No, like, I know. It's perfect, though. Honestly, I feel like the ratchets thing works.
Yeah, it took a minute to set up here, but we wanted to, and for those of you listening, we wanted to make sure we were safe in this COVID era. So
yeah,
I'm literally sitting in a drum cage with plexiglass covering us, and Emma's on the other side. But I do feel like I'm in a recording studio, right?
Yeah, totally.
Really quick. So let's jump in with a quick icebreaker.
Sweet.
You know, given that it's December, end of the year, we've gone through a bunch of different holidays like we do every year, of course. But what's your favorite holiday and why?
Oh, my favorite holiday? I mean, this is definitely something that people who know me are going to laugh at me if they hear this. But like, my birthday, man. Come on.
Yeah.
April 6th, national holiday, man.
Yeah. So remember that, guys. April 6th.
April 6th.
Yeah.
Hit me up.
Yeah.
It's my favorite day of the year.
So what does a typical Emma birthday on April 6th look like?
Oh, it's like disaster. My mom ruined me for birthdays, because she just used to go so hard, like so extra. So for my 21st birthday, I woke up and my mom was like, what did you want to do for your birthday? And I was like, I just want it to be spectacular from beginning to end. And she was like, oh my God. So yeah, it's spectacular from beginning to end.
Right on.
I feel like 364 days out of the year, I do my best to live for others.
Yeah.
One day a year, I'm like, this day is about me.
That's right.
Man.
Yeah, that's good. That's so good. So one question that we always ask our guests, it's the bio question, right?
Okay.
Pretty much, you know, who are you? Who is Emma Hall? Especially for those who may not know who you are. I mean, this is your chance to kind of talk yourself up. So who is Emma Hall, and what makes you tick? What gets you out of the bed in the morning? I mean, who are you?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Okay. So like on your Instagram bio, there's like, you can write a little description for yourself. And a lot of people will do something like, you know, complicated, explain themselves, or they'll do like the hashtag blessed or something like that.
Yeah.
And I like struggle with that, because I have so many things I'm passionate about, that I care about deeply. But yeah, so whenever I have to like summarize it, it takes too long. But what I'm going to basically say is like my Instagram post says I make things.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I make things, man. I feel like I'm an immersive artist. I feel like to me, like trying to embody making things is where my like priorities lie. So what I'm really interested in is connection points. I'm interested in how we relate to one another. So a lot of my work focuses on relationships and identity and how those things evolve and grow and sort of the like transgressions that happen in those spaces too. So I write poetry, as you said. I write poetry, I write music, I sing, I paint, I write. I'm working on a book right now. I have a poetry manuscript that I'm getting out right now and another one in the works. And I'm doing on my Instagram, I'm doing a lot of fashion stuff and a lot of, a little bit of photography stuff. It's just whatever it is that embodies those themes that I'm interested in.
Yeah. And how long, I mean, I know a lot of artists, they say, oh, I've been doing it forever. I've been doing it since I was born. But how long would you say you've been in the creative realm?
I would say, yeah, I mean, definitely in the creative realm, definitely from a very, very young age. But I would say like I started performing music on stage with my dad when I was like seven or eight. I started writing songs when I was like five.
Okay.
Yeah, I started writing songs for my brother.
Yeah.
When I was like five, and I would make up stories and poems with my grandma's as little as probably 4 or 5. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything recorded that we all can hear and look up and try to find?
No. We're just going to say no.
Okay. All right.
Oh, sorry.
What about inspiration? So artists, you know, a lot of things inspire them mostly at random moments. Can you walk us through the process of, you know, how you get inspired, whether it's for a poem or a song or an art piece? What goes on in the head of Emma Hall when she gets inspired all the way to the canvas or to the page or to the microphone? Can you talk to us about the process of that?
Yeah, I feel like there's definitely different approaches I take. But as far as relationships go, I realized and kind of been like analyzing my process a little more over this year that it really does come back to relationships a lot of the time for me. And also that I am an obsessive person. So I fixate that's where the immersiveness comes from. I think that like once I encounter a subject that I find interesting, I can't stop. I just like soak in it. And I'm a voracious learner and a big reader. I love to read. I've always loved to read. My mom said when I was a kid, before I could hold my neck up, I would hold those baby books, those softcover baby books. She'd say she'd see me holding it up as if I could read it when I was like...
So instead of chewing on it like most babies, you were actually reading it.
I was just like upside down, just like, oh, one day I'm going to read. Yeah. I can't wait to read. I love to read, man. So I think I try to learn a lot about something, and I'm a very intuitive person. So a lot of it is I feel my way through everything and just kind of go with my gut. And a lot of the time I have this inkling of something and I've learned about it. I'll research it as much as I can. And then suddenly I'll just find myself making stuff that has to do with that subject. So I'm trying to think of an example, but it's hard to think of one off the top of my head.
No, that's cool. What about challenges? What are some challenges that you face as an artist?
Challenge? Oh, God. Name a challenge. Yeah. I feel like, all of them. I mean, writer's block, getting too focused and not being able to like relate to people anymore, like finding it hard to have a conversation. Especially with COVID, because a lot of the time I've been creating stuff by myself at home for like hours and hours and hours, days and days, weeks on end. And then I'll have a conversation with a human being in the world, and I'll just be like, dude, we have nothing in common. I forgot how to talk to people, right, man. Yeah. I don't know what small talk they're asking. Like, so, what's your week looking like? I'm like, I don't know, man. I don't know how to answer your questions.
Yeah. Speaking of reading, so I noticed you have this thing on social media called Bedtime Story Project. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Oh, man, I'm so glad you brought it up. I love it so much. Yeah, so I do this live stream. Right now it's once a week. It was all week for a while at the beginning of, when things started to get really bad, like with lockdown. But basically, it's this thing I wanted to do. My parents used to read stories to us when we were kids, or even sometimes make up stories. And Bedtime Story Project started because I was like, man, I want to give that same level of like comfort and just coziness and acceptance that I felt as a kid being read to. So I just started reading public domain works on the internet as a way of being like, here's like something I can do for you. I can't hang out with you right now. I love to be around people, hang out with people. I miss my friends. I miss my family so much. My family lives all over the world.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is a way maybe we can be together a little bit right now.
Yeah, that's cool. And it speaks to your love and desire for human relationships, right? There's that connection. How long have you been doing that?
I started it in March, I think. Yeah, okay. March. Yeah.
So right when COVID like kind of blew up.
Yeah, that was totally it. I was like, man, my heart was bleeding, man. I just was like, I was seeing a lot of people. Also, people I know who are, I have a big history with illness. Mm-hmm. I've struggled with a lot of mental health and physical health stuff over the years. And I was just seeing people I love who were like, man, their anxiety, their depression was spiking, or even physical health stuff at home, being terrified to go out because of COVID. And I was like, hey, if y'all are stuck at home, or maybe some of you are sick at home or anything, like, I wish I could be with you right now, but I can't. So this is what I can do.
That's cool. What works have you read so far?
Oh, we've read The Velveteen Rabbit is one of my favorites that we read. We read Little Women. And we read The Wind in the Willows, which was really special.
Yeah.
They're also, it's also partially, I'm going to be honest, like I have an agenda, which is to get people like interested in literature.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who wouldn't normally.
Right. And so what are, so I assume you're going to bleed it into next year and continue it. What are some works that you intend to read through? Oh,
I have so many, but I'll tell you what I would be most excited about. Mm-hmm. That I think would be a bit of a challenge is George MacDonald.
Okay.
I would really love to. I think a lot of people that I'm close to would really enjoy George MacDonald's works and probably aren't as familiar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. Let's shift a little bit. So I mentioned at the top that you recently stepped down from your full-time job as a manager of this thrift store. Yeah. Now, no. So one, you're married. How did your husband take the news? I'm sure, you know, you guys still have to make ends meet. He's also an artist, right? A tattoo artist. And so, you know, income isn't as, consistent. Yeah. I imagine. I mean, me also, right. With my kind of sphere of, income as well. And so I understand the nervousness that can go into a decision like that. Talk to us about one, maybe your history with the thrift shop, and then what eventually led you to make the decision to step down.
That's like right for the jugular. You're not holding back or anything. Uh-huh. I love it. I love it. Okay. So, love the city. One of the greatest chapters of my life. I may get slightly emotional, so I'm going to try to bypass that a little if I can. But yeah, no, I, so when I started working at Love the City, my dreams were all about the creative work and what I was really, my prayer was, I was like going into it thinking like, okay, if I can just do a basic, like retail, like low maintenance job where I have to give as little as possible and I can commit all the rest of my time to my creative work, that would be perfect. So we were moving here from Chicago where Shane had been going to school and Shane's from here. So we knew people, Matt, who is our boss, or was my boss, Matt married us and we'd known them for a long time. Shane grew up knowing them. Matt was like, Emma should work at the thrift store. And Shane was like, that's perfect. She's a thrifting queen. Yeah. And like everything I do, fashion and clothing, man. And just, but also just stuff. My grandma used to have a vintage shop actually. Oh, okay. So it's really in the blood.
Yeah.
I grew up going to, not just going to thrift shops, but having every woman in my family be like, look at the bottom of this plate, read the markings on it. Do you know what this means? Yeah. Look at this. It's pristine. It's in mint condition.
Right.
So, the thrift store, man, was just like an answer to prayer. Mm. And it wasn't at all what I expected. It was the opposite. It was like, I didn't go in with like, I went in with as little commitment and desire for responsibility as possible. Everyone along the way, just believed in me, yeah, and in a way that I never could have believed in myself. People laughed, like my friends laughed when I said that I was going to be running a business. They were like, you,
yeah,
are you sure? And yeah, I'd be like, yeah, no, I can't believe it, but I'm going to run this business. And it was amazing. Mm-hmm. And we were netting positive income, and we were, paying our staff, our employees. We had more staff than ever. We were really hugely successful. And I attribute that to the store, how incredible the store,
yeah,
is as its own entity, because, I could do a whole podcast just talking about Love the City. So you're going to have to like give me a marker.
We're going to have you back. How's
because
that?
I'm just telling you, Love the City, there's nothing like it. It's a very unique situation. It's not just a store. It's not just a ministry. It's not just like an organization. It's, and I don't want to say that it's not just a family. Mm-hmm. It's like all of those things combined in a way that is proactively making change in the community. It was an honor,
yeah,
to be a part of it. So all of that to say, when I went into saying yes, that I would take over the store, I said I could do it for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I would A, just totally fall in love with it, or B, get burned out, mm-hmm, on it. And probably both, honestly.
Yeah.
And that's really what happened, is that like, I loved it. It was a very mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically demanding job.
Hmm.
You're like the bartenders of the secondhand, right, world. You know what I,
yeah,
mean? People aren't coming because they need a secondhand shirt from Hanes.
Yeah.
They're coming because they need connection, and there's something missing in their lives. Hmm. And they know that if they come to Love the City, they're accepted. They're loved, man. They're just who they are. It's okay. Whoever you are, just come in and we'll talk to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, stepping down was a huge choice, because there was definitely a part of me that was like, this is comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I am good at it. Way more than I ever could have expected. And part of me just wanted to write it out.
Yeah.
But a lot of things in my life were coming together to tell me like, this isn't my purpose.
Yeah.
This isn't my vocation. And I want to take what God's given me with and steward it responsibly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. That's cool. So, you know, for those listening and who may not know you, so you mentioned the word God, you mentioned, mm-hmm, prayer, you also, mm-hmm, mentioned ministry.
Yeah.
Talk to us about your faith background.
Yeah. I can't even get into half a conversation without it coming up.
Right. Cause you know, we've had Muslims on the show, we've had atheists, you know, and a lot of Christians last season. Let's start there. I mean, how would you describe your faith background?
Yeah. Yeah. No. So I grew up in the Christian church.
Okay.
My parents were actually missionaries in the Christian church. My faith background is a little interesting. My parents, first of all, are not your average missionary. If you can tell at all from talking to me, just,
yeah,
that was weird. They are not your average missionaries. They're very outside of the box. But my parents are, the missions work that they've primarily done is social justice work,
okay,
and advocacy for victims of human trafficking, refugee and asylee programs. So we traveled a lot. As a kid, I got to see a lot of the world. I was very fortunate and privileged and blessed in that I was able to see a lot of the world on a dime.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
We were not traveling in luxury.
Right.
We did not stay in fancy hotels.
Yeah.
You know, we were like cooking our own food, and it was amazing. It was amazing. I got to meet a lot of incredible people. But my faith background, for my own personal faith, really when I started to own that, was there were a number of tragic events that happened when, mm-hmm, I was a teenager, including there was a shooting at YWAM Denver where my parents were, where we lived and worked.
Yeah.
When I was a young person, and a close friend was killed as a result of this shooting. And so that act of violence, along with some other deaths and other losses that happened that year, including leaving the church that I had grown up in, our family church, for different reasons. All those things really made me have to question whether or not I was going to take this seriously. Yeah. And it made me question if there was a God, if he could be real, if he could be good. Mm. And if he was good, how to reconcile that with violence and loss. Mm.
So one question that comes to mind with everything that you've experienced coming to a place of embracing your faith, right? Because I grew up Catholic and my faith was my parents' faith, right?
Right.
And I'm sure that's the story of many people. But in your journey coming to where you are today, who is God? I mean, how would you describe who God is to somebody and who is God to you?
Yeah. I mean, that's the big question. That would be a big part of what I'm trying to answer in my work too, is trying to understand that. And it's part of why I'm very interested in theology and theology from different faith backgrounds too, because I think I do believe that, truth is truth, wherever you find it.
Yeah.
But, for me, God is love. God is love. I think that God has to be bigger than whatever we define him as.
Yeah.
I think, that the names for God can be really helpful and really beautiful. And I think that God can't be whoever we think he is.
Right.
Like, I think if we're worshiping someone who looks a lot like us, then it's not really God.
That's good. And so here's where the podcast collides, regarding faith and creativity. Mm. How have you experienced God in your work as an artist? And, you know, how does your faith play a role in how you create?
Mm. Yeah. I mean, in the least kind of arrogant way I could say this, but to me, to answer your question would be, first of all, partnership.
Mm.
I would say anything that comes across in my work that is sloppy or pretentious or bigoted or not is that's me.
Right.
But in the sense that, like, what I create only comes from the sense that I was made for a purpose.
Mm.
And it comes from a place that tells me that maybe I'm going to cry.
That's okay.
That maybe if I am willing to take risks and go beyond what scares me, which is everything, I have crippling anxiety.
Yeah.
But if I go beyond what scares me, maybe I could help someone.
Mm. That's good. So speaking of anxiety and you mentioned mental health, and I've been open about my struggles as well. How, and I feel bad because there's this barrier between us and I want to offer you like a tissue.
It's fine. It's okay. This is a daily occurrence.
Yeah.
I am very okay with it.
I'm going to put it through the plexiglass here.
I care so much, dude. I care so much. So yeah, my emotions are very involved.
But because art has a way of being therapeutic, how has your art brought a lot of healing to your own self-care? And maybe how have you experienced your own personal art bringing healing to other people as well?
Yeah. Oh, this is such a great question. I love this question. Yeah. I mean, I hope I can answer it, do it justice in my answer. I believe that creativity is healing and should be healing. And I believe it's part of why my personal conviction is that everyone is creative in some way and can be creative. Does not necessarily mean artistic. It does not necessarily mean creating works of some kind.
Right.
But I think everyone has this creativity inside them, because to create by necessity is to make whole, make something. Even I think the act of destructive creativity, of like taking something apart, I think can be very healing and reconstructive. So art therapy and creative therapy to me, I'm very passionate about it. And one of my biggest dreams, and where I feel like I see my own work helping people, or my hope is that it's helping people, is just in being like, just make it, just do it, just try it. Just don't think too much about it.
Yeah.
Just do it. And I think by having that attitude and having that kind of approach, I see a lot of my friends be like, you know, maybe I should just try. And I'll be like, just try, just try. Like, you'll see once you do that thing, whether it's pottery or writing a journal or scrapbooking maybe, or something like that. And for some people, I think it's even just like None of those things. Some things I think that look a lot like sitting down and doing nothing are very creative.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How have you stayed inspired during this COVID era? Or how, let me ask you this way, how has COVID either positively or negatively or both affected you as a creative?
Yeah. I think it's been mostly positive, but I think definitely there's been some of both, in the sense that like my mental health's definitely taken a toll. My physical health has also taken a real toll. I, like I mentioned earlier, have suffered from a multitude of health problems in the past, to the point that I had like a breaking point about 7 years ago. I had to leave my job. I couldn't drive. I couldn't pour my own water.
Wow.
I couldn't lift up a dinner plate. It was around Thanksgiving time. My dad handed me a dinner plate to go get some food, and I had to drop it before it shattered. I had to drop it on the counter because I couldn't hold up a dinner plate. That's how weak I was. And extreme pain all over my body. So I share all that to say just the journey of I've had to come from of being able to then do something like work full time and run a business that is very I was carrying like 400 pound pieces of furniture with Martine.
Yeah.
To just give you a glimpse of like how incredible that is, that whenever people ask me if I believe like really that there's a God, I'm like, yo, I have to. I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Can you imagine to go from that to that? In such a young, I'm 28 years old.
Yeah.
I think where I see when that happened, when that first happened, when I got really sick, I had just like this strong, like the voice of God just telling me, you were not made to do the basic jobs I'd been doing.
Yeah.
I did not make you for this.
Wow.
Like, what are you doing with your time and your energy?
Yeah.
And it was convicting. And I was like, man, okay, I gotta change some of my habits. Like, because I've always assumed, like many people who are creative, that I'm not any good.
Mm.
And that whatever, I would never make it. Like, I could never be good enough to do this. I can never be good enough to show someone this. And even if I care about it so much that it feels like it'll kill me, no one else is going to care. No one else is going to care about it.
Right.
It's not going to, you know, matter to some random person on the street. So my physical mental health is directly tied to what I make. And in the sense that like I struggle or the sense that I am in some kind of pain or suffering from something, I can allow that to be the extent to which I create stuff, or I can decide like, I mean, wanted to drop some language there and I'm not going to, but like, forget it. I'm going to either make stuff or I'm not.
Yeah.
And I think this year COVID was like an impetus for me of realizing like, what are you waiting for? Life is too short.
Yeah.
It's too short, man. Like you got to either try or not. And you're going to have regrets either way, I think. I've been always afraid of failure and afraid of regrets and afraid of taking risks. And I think Love the City and all these things of growth and change in my heart, in my life, and my health have made me realize like, yeah, I'm going to have I had a migraine over the summer that was a 17-day migraine.
Wow.
And I was like, it's not going to stop me, man. Like, I got to keep making stuff.
Yeah.
I'm going to write it down. I'm going to write what is it like to have a 17-day migraine? Maybe I could write about that.
Yeah.
Right. So to me, it's like, I think this year was like one of the best opportunities ever for artists to be able to just be like, you can't stop me.
Yeah. That's good. Final question I have, which I think you were getting into it just a little bit, but talk to that person, those people out there who are trying to become artists, but they're telling themselves, I'm not good enough. What would you say to those people out there wanting to pursue, but they're just hesitant because of that stigma that this is not good?
Nobody's good enough. Nobody's good enough. I feel like the reason that Beyonce is because she just kept going. She was relentless. She's fierce. She her passion, right? And I think sometimes we question whether or not it's okay to have that kind of passion or commitment if we're going to be like a small fish or a small fry.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm like, absolutely. Like, what is there to lose by living your life, your one life that you have, as passionately and as full of hope and as full of conviction as possible? Because I just feel like maybe I won't be remembered, and that's okay. But if I get to the end of my life and I decided to live with conviction, and I say the word conviction, which might be kind of a bit of a sterile word for some people. Yeah. So passion, you know what I mean? Like if I decided to live passionately and all out and refusing to compromise on what I want to do with my own life, you know, I think we all compromise in a lot of areas from a young age, as far as like what someone else wants us to do with our lives.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I've been lucky, very, very, very lucky that I have so many people who love me and support me and who see it. They see what I want to do and they affirm it. And I know if you don't have those people in your life, it might be hard to feel that same drive or passion or that it could work out. But I believe in you.
Yeah, that's so good.
You can do it.
Yeah. That's so good. Thank you so much for your time. Before we let you go, we do this thing called lightning round. You down to play?
I mean, yeah, I'm scared, but yeah, let's do it.
All right, so how it usually works is I'm going to just give you a set of choices.
Okay.
And you just give me your first response without thinking too much. And I'm going to just go down the line. I think I have about 10 choices for you to pick from. I'm just going to spit them out. You good?
Yeah, but I'm going to have regrets later, I think. Go ahead.
Good thing we're not recording, right?
Feels good.
All right, here we go. Oils or acrylics?
Oils.
Canvas or sketch pad?
Ugh, canvas.
Vinyl or cassette tape?
Vinyl, 100%.
Tattoos, colors or black ink?
Both black ink.
Coffee or tea?
Tea all the way.
Food, Japanese or Korean?
Korean.
Long route or freeways?
Long route.
Yoshitomo Nora or Cindy Sherman?
I hate Cindy Sherman, man. I'm a huge fan.
Sega or Nintendo?
Nintendo.
Old Testament or New Testament?
What? What? New Testament.
Boom, there it is. Lightning round. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for playing. Emma, thank you so much again
for
jumping on.
Amazing, Derek.
Really quickly, throw out your socials, including maybe even Love the City as well.
Yeah.
But where can we find you? Where can we find your work? What do you got? You know, what are you doing online?
Okay, my website is emma.gazley, which is G-A-Z-L-E-Y. Everyone says or spells it wrong, so I'm glad I get the opportunity to correct it here.
Yeah.
And my Instagram is @ Emma Gazley, spelled the same way. And Facebook, Emma Gazley. I don't Twitter, man, but Emma Gazley, whatever.
Yeah.
My last name is actually legally Hall. So if you're not finding stuff under Emma Gazley, you can look for Emma Hall. And then Love the Cities is Love the City Thrift on Instagram. And the Instagram's like more the place to go for Love the City, but they have a website too. And that looks really good. And thanks to Grace, I spent a year ruining it and then she fixed it.
So Emma too, just to clarify, it's two M's.
Two M's. E-M-M-A. G-A-Z-L-E-Y.
Because I've seen it with one M.
Have you?
I have.
People used to call me Ema and I'd be like, yo, there's two M's there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you have it, folks. The always fabulous Emma Hall. Gazley as well, too, on socials. Make sure you check her out. Well, there you have it, y'all. Emma Gazley. A wonderful, wonderful, wonderful conversation that we have or that we had this past week. Guys, what do you guys think? Anything that stood out from the interview that you want to kind of extract a little bit and talk a little bit further?
Well, the thing I'd like to bring up is I would like to have her run my business. Because she said in that interview that she obsesses about things. And that really, really rung true with me, because I obsess about good things and bad things. But they're talking about learning to obsess about the good things is that she was dedicated.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I heard. Everything she did, I'm dedicated. I love how she says, I just want to make things.
Yeah.
I go, how simple is that? I mean, it could go any different direction. And that's one thing that I really took from that interview is she just wants to make things.
Yeah.
She wants to make people, she wants to make a difference. She wants to make a difference here at the thrift store. Wherever she's the kind of person, wherever you plant her, she's going to make a difference. And that's powerful.
Yeah. And I love how in that same stream where she wants to make things, but to the betterment of other people, like you're saying. I love how she wants to make other people better, and however that looks like, whether it's at the thrift shop when she was, you know, running it, whether that's working with other creatives. She has this spirit of wanting to elevate others. It's kind of like what we were talking about, you know, before the interview started, right? Where we want to encourage people, you know, to tell themselves, you are better than you think, you are good enough, you know, and that's the kind of spirit that she has. And that, you know, and we didn't really talk about this in the interview, but, you know, from knowing her personally, just being around her, she exudes that. She wants to make sure that you or whomever she's around pursues the best version of themselves. And that's one thing that I love about her. What about you, Chris? What are some things, or what's one thing that came out of the interview that you want to kind of extract a little bit?
Well, I just kind of wanted to go deeper into the whole obsession part. I mean, we were talking about it in the first episode. We all did a round table. It's like, oh, well, what do you want to do? We want to connect. Well, these are the type of people that I want to meet. Because obsession is everything. And obsession is contagious. I've kind of realized, you know, with the band, I've realized that now, like you and I, Derek, we've always kind of fed off of each other because we've always had that like up-tempo, upbeat.
Yeah.
And it's like that synergistic, you know, the synergistic relationship that we would have together. And it's like, if I could find more people like that, like, man, like you can conquer so many different things. And that's the main goal that I had. And I've gone to go visit you at Vintage Coffee a couple times, and I've yet to meet Emma, but I'm gonna find her one day and go meet her. Because I don't have a painter friend, which is ridiculous. Yeah. I paint all the time. The only painter I know, because it's super old school, is my dad.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like a mentor student thing. I don't have any contemporaries.
Yeah.
Or I kind of do, but when it comes to, hey, let's do something together, or, oh, show me something, they cower away.
Right.
And is that your fake purpose? Or if it's really your purpose, you're going to show me what you make.
Yeah.
And you're going to be proud of it. And that's why I believe that everything is created for the sake of being, you know, shared with everyone.
Yeah.
Like, let's go, creatives.
No, I think that like,
give me some people like Emma.
Yeah, I think that you would really hit it off with Emma and her husband, Shane. Shane's also an artist. He's a different kind of painter. He's a tattoo artist.
Hey, I'm down with that.
Yeah,
too.
But he's a creative in the sense of, what was that, Kevin?
Tattoo artists are great. The ones that I've seen, I mean, they're just works of art on skin.
Yeah. Chris, I think you'd hit it off with both of them. I'll definitely get you guys connected sooner than later. Any other things that pop out in that interview that you guys want to talk about?
For me, the second thing was connection.
Yeah.
She talked about the thrift store, and the thrift store to her was a building. It was a building. It was a means to an end. It wasn't the end. It was the beginning. She said in the beginning of the interview that I remember, it's people want connection, and they get connection at the thrift store.
Yeah.
If you were think of it just in normal society pre-quarantine, a lot of people that go into a thrift store, you don't think about them wanting the connection. They're going shopping, and the reason they're going there is not for shopping.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, connection is definitely an important part of her life. And I know we keep referring to our first episode of the season, but it's one thing that we talked about. You know, I mean, it was the title that we came up with, right? Being human.
Yeah.
And it's human. The whole point of, and I think even more so now, given the physical distancing, given that the COVID era, I mean, connection is extremely important, even more so now. And, you know, we'll take what we can get in terms of how we connect. Small gatherings over, you know, physical small gatherings or over the phone or, you know, I had a staff meeting or a staff end of the year party for one of the other jobs that I do. And, you know, Marissa and I put together these gifts and, you know, I made these leather bracelets and she made these for the men. And she made these little metal sterling silver type cuff bracelets for the women, and both of you know that I still type on a typewriter, and I ended up putting these poems together for everybody, you know, for the men and the women, and we kind of packaged it really nicely, and you know, as I was talking with some of the coworkers, and they were just really expressing their appreciation. And, you know, it's little things like that that we can do to make connection, right? Like if we can't gather in, you know, big gatherings, but, you know,
I love things made by a human.
Yeah.
Like, like JC from our church, she makes beadies.
Right.
I wear it all the time because she made it with her hands.
Yeah.
I know her.
Yeah.
You know, it's not made by some machine. And so I kind of see the type of pride that those people are getting when they receive those things.
Yeah. You know, and so you got a little creative here. I think to circle back to M, I think another thing that I found fascinating was, I think it was toward the tail end. In fact, it's part of the capture that we posted in the teaser at the beginning of this episode, where she talks about her relationship with God, and you know, she was moved to tears, right? She was weeping a little bit, describing who God is to her. And what I appreciate about her description of who God is to her is that you get the sense that it truly was. Or she truly has this authentic relationship with God, that it wasn't just verbs or words that were religious, but it truly, truly expressed and captured the heart that she has for God, and that it's not just something she does on Sundays, but it's a relationship she tries to nurture every single day. And to be able to describe God in her own words and to be moved to tears was really fascinating for me to experience firsthand and to see that. You know, I think there are not very many times where I move to tears when I describe my relationship with God. And to see that in her really moved me in terms of how she saw God. So I thought that was fascinating. You know, and then of course, you know, she talked about her parents being different kinds of pastors, right? They were missionaries, and I really clung on to her stories about, you know, obviously spirituality and religious work, given the line of work that I do. So I thought that was really neat that she was able to not just answer the question, you know, who is God, and just kind of give me a static answer, but she really went deep with it. And I thought that was really moving to hear her being moved to tears. And I thought that was really fascinating. Yeah. Any other thoughts, any other points as we kind of wrap up our talk today? Any other thoughts from the interview with Emma?
I think one is traveling on a dime. Mm. I love that statement. She said, "Well, we traveled on a dime."
Yeah,
that just that stuck with me.
Yeah, yeah. It gives this the reality that, you know, you don't need a ton of money to enjoy life, right? You especially, you know, I haven't met her folks and even her family, and I just imagine they're all creatives in their own right. And, you know, we made this distinction in the first episode. They may not consider themselves artists, but they're all creatives in their own right. And you're right, Kevin, to travel on a dime, just being content with what's in front of you, I think, is one thing that she definitely learned at an early age. And getting to know her, I mean, I haven't known her forever. I just met her this past year. But you get that sense that she lives with a spirit of contentment, you know, if she has a lot, great, she's going to be content with that. Or if she has little by the world standards, she's still going to be content with that. She's going to be great. And so, yeah, I love that. What about you, Chris? You were going to say?
I'm just kind of happy that it's like, I believe that I've kind of learned that God speaks to you through other people.
Yeah.
And she's kind of speaking to me, and I'm kind of excited because I could talk about painting until I'm blue in the face. You guys could kind of understand,
yeah,
but you don't because you don't do it.
Right.
She does. And so it's that type of understanding and level of understanding that I would like to eventually meet, you know, more painters through this. And,
yep,
and it's kind of cool. And just to kind of hear her experience and talk about mine. And I know like a lot of them are going to intersect. And that's what's beautiful about these interviews is you get to hear somebody's whole life story, and you're like, oh, that's almost like mine,
yeah,
or that's very much like mine, or oh, maybe I need to change this in my life and make it a little more like that. You know,
yeah.
It kind of gives you some parameters to kind of play with and see what works for somebody else, and try to do that.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Well, hey, man, it's been really awesome. Just a couple of heads up. We have another guest coming at you at the beginning of January. By the time this releases, it'll be right before Christmas. We're going to take a week off. So that's what we're going to try to do, guys. Listening, we're going to try to do 2 to 3 episodes a month. Because of the holidays, we're going to do 2 this month. But hey, guys, amazing awesome, insights right. today. Thank you guys for chiming in on Emma's story. And then, guys out there, thanks for tuning in this week. Don't forget to rate and review this podcast. Don't forget to hit our Instagram page. Handle is at breathe.podcast, the Patreon page to support us. And of course, until next time, as we say every single week, be the light, extend your hand in love, and make peace with someone this upcoming week. Stay blessed, and we'll catch you next time. Peace.
Peace.